Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Heritage Financial are not affiliated. Welcome back to Making Money Fun. I am John Gay. I'm joined by Shanna Tindrum from Heritage Financial. Shanna, I'm excited about today's topic.
Yeah, me too, John.
So we're talking about pets and dogs, and I know you and I and our spouses are all big dog people, but why are we going to talk about pets on a podcast about money?
Yeah, that's a great question. It seems a little bit strange, but it's not really, because if you have pets, you know it's important to be a responsible pet owner, which means making sure that you have a realistic idea of what owning and making sure that pet is taken care of will cost.
And yes,
you know, it can be super expensive, as we both know.
Because things happen.
Yeah.
Pets get older, pets get sick. You know, we actually had a cousin of ours. I'll preface this by saying he's okay and made a full recovery.
Good.
They had a dog that got out and got hit by a car on the interstate.
Oh.
He's okay, making a full recovery.
God.
Just a little bit of a head tilt. But I believe the vet bill, and this is an extreme case certainly, it was more than a car.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was like $20,000 or something like that. And it's, you know, to get a bill like that out of the blue, and it's your pet, it's a family member. You're not going to not take care of your pet.
Oh.
By the grace of God, they were able to save this dog, and the dog is okay. But
yeah,
just a massive dollar amount just out of the blue like that.
Oh, I know. And a lot of people think about, you know, food and the routine vet care, but there are other bills like accidents and specialists and emergency room visits that are important to at least understand, because many people don't think about those, right? And they can sneak up on you. Like you said, if your pet gets out, gets into an accident, or God forbid, bites another pet or a person.
Then you're dealing with insurance claims if your pet is the aggressor, and then you're dealing with medical bills if your pet is the victim.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, there's kind of a joke that my husband and I have that our dogs only get sick on holiday weekends, because we've had two dogs that have, you know, started their end of life process on a holiday weekend. And of course,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's heartbreaking to think about it. But, you know, when they have to stay at an emergency vet on a holiday weekend because the specialists are all out of town on vacation, the bills can really add up.
And even just an emergency vet stay on a run-of-the-mill weekday. So, as you know, our first dog, Brady, passed in January, and he had cancer. And God bless him, we got so much more time with him than we ever could have expected. We saw an oncologist. Unfortunately, the chemo didn't work. They ended up amputating a leg. But he got an extra 6 months of happy, pain-free life.
Yeah.
But again, there were a couple overnight vet stays at not our regular vet, but the emergency vet. And that's a whole different classification. That is, and when it's a family member, you just hand them the credit card and say,
yeah,
do what you got to do.
Yeah, do what you got to do. And we have had optometrists, allergists, cardiologists, chiropractors, acupuncturists.
Oh my goodness.
We're kind of crazy dog people that way.
You're preaching to the choir. Yeah. Yeah.
And so one of the things that I get asked a lot when it comes to this subject is, how do you feel about pet insurance? And so,
yeah,
you know, I really want to talk a little bit about that, because I've always had some type of pet insurance. We just actually got a new puppy, which I am excited to talk about as well. But we've bought a different type of pet insurance now that we have the new puppy, because the breed that we got has some serious health issues that we hope we've screened for, but you never know. And so we've bought that pet insurance to help sort of mitigate some of those large costs, because as I was mentioning, the last pet that we lost was Memorial Day weekend this year, and she stayed 5 days at the emergency vet.
Oh.
You know, it was either that or a new car this year, so.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, it was super expensive, and we've had pet insurance now for more than 15 years. And every year I look at what it cost versus what it's paid, and every year it's at least paid for itself. So for me, it's a good investment.
So pet insurance is so valuable. It can be a great investment, especially, and I should mention this, if, you know, because you have a puppy, my wife and I tend to rescue dogs that are a little bit older, mm-hmm. about 5, 6, 7 years old.
Yep.
Sometimes there's an age restriction on what you can get the pet insurance on.
Yep.
So our previous dog, it was too late. Our new dog, that she's 6, I think we might still be able to, but I am going to look into that.
Yeah.
But, you know, pet insurance doesn't always cover everything. And something I'm sure you probably talk to a lot of clients about is, saving money for some of those pet expenses that we've been talking about.
Yeah, for sure. And the way that most pet insurance works today is that you have to get reimbursed. They don't pay the vets directly. So you've got to have what I call a sinking fund, a fund that is set aside to cover those big expenses until the time comes that you get reimbursed. And so that's how we handle it, is that we have a little savings account that is called our pet savings, and it covers the big things, the large vet bills and the specialist bills. And if we get reimbursed by the pet insurance, great. And if we don't, there's a certain amount that comes out of our paychecks each month and transfers directly into that sinking fund, just to make sure that all those things are covered. So another quick story that I want to share with everybody listening today is the dog that I had when I first met my husband, Eric. His name was Hershey. He was a cockapoo, cocker spaniel poodle mix. Mm-hmm. And he was a great, wonderful boy. We had him for 14 years, but he was stubborn as all get out. And one holiday weekend, he, I guess, just decided he didn't like the food that we were feeding him anymore. And we went and bought one of everything at the PetSmart, and he wouldn't eat anything. We tried the rice and chicken, and that didn't work.
Wow.
And after not eating, after not eating for a few days, we called our vet and they said, you know, we're closed. I would suggest you take him to the emergency vet. And so we did. And like I said, it was a holiday weekend, and he stayed for 3 days with IV fluids, and they ran every test you can imagine. Nothing was wrong with this boy. Nothing.
He was just stubborn.
Yeah. The diagnosis they gave us was that he was a geriatric anorexic, which basically was an old dog that won't eat.
Wow.
And we brought him home, and sure enough, when we got him home, he started eating again. So thankfully, nothing was wrong with him. I mean, that was when he was about 9 years old, and we had him for 5 more years. So everything was fine. But again, we spent a small fortune for that vet stay. And if we hadn't had that sinking fund, it might have been a big stress in our relationship.
So what are some other options, Shanna, for people if they do have that large pet bill that they can't necessarily afford, maybe don't have that sinking fund set up?
Yeah, for sure. So care credit is always an option in a lot of vets. If you qualify, if you can credit qualify, they'll let you put the bills on care credit and pay that off over time. Also, there are some rescues that will help with vet bills. And you know, if you have a breed that is prone to health issues, you might look at a breed specific rescue. They may help you raise money with folks that are lovers of that breed. And so those are always some options if you can't afford to make sure that it's taken care of.
So what are some other expenses related to having a pet that people might not think about including in their financial plan?
Grooming obviously can be a big one. If you buy dogs that have to be groomed, that is not an inexpensive proposition for the dogs that we have, which are Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. So they have to be groomed every 2 to 3 months, and it's, you know, $75, $80 a pop. And so it's important that you think about that. Also, as we mentioned earlier, God forbid, should they be involved in a fight and hurt somebody or bite somebody, those bills and costs can mount as well.
It's a lot that you don't expect, because I'd never had pets growing up. My wife has always been a dog lover, and now obviously I'm a total convert, and I absolutely love, love, love dogs. But there are just so many things to think about when you get a dog.
Yeah.
But what else should listeners consider when getting a pet?
Well, something a lot of people don't think about is what happens to your pet if something happens to you.
Oh, right.
You know, you should definitely consider your pets in your estate plan. You can, in Arizona specifically, have a estate plan document that specifically details who is willing to take the pet if something happens to you, and how that pet financially might be provided for. So,
and forgive me for stating the obvious here, but you want to make sure you have the conversation and make sure that person is willing to take your pet.
Exactly. Super important, because if they have small kids or other pets, it just might not work. So don't throw that on somebody, but you want to make sure that if something happens to you, that that pet will be taken care of.
I know we've talked about a lot of serious stuff and a lot of scary stuff when it comes to pets and things that can happen to them and money, but I do want to end this on a positive note, Shanna. We're talking about this today because, as you mentioned, you got a new puppy. Tell me about her.
Yes, we did. Her name is Gidget. She's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. As of the day that we're recording this, she's 8 weeks old and about 4 pounds, and so super healthy. And she is finally getting along a little bit better with our older guy, Oliver, who was also a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Okay.
And the fun part about her that Eric and I have really noticed over the last week or so that we've had her is that she has so many of the same mannerisms and behaviors that the dog that we lost in May has had. I mean, it is crazy to me. And every now and then Eric will look at her and say, wow, she's channeling her inner princess, which was the dog's name that we lost in May. So it's fun to have a puppy in the house, but we haven't had a puppy for 8 years. So we're definitely going through the training phase right now.
How much sleep have you gotten in the last week?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
It's funny because our first dog, Brady, that passed in January, and full disclosure, I am a Patriots fan, so our first dog was Brady, and our new dog is Jules.
Oh, no.
And so Jules, we didn't realize it from the pictures, but she looks just like Brady, especially from certain angles. Same color, wow. Same size, same Labrador Retriever mix. And so we got a purple collar on her. So we first go, okay, this is a girl and not a boy. And there was definitely a few moments where it was like, whoa, okay, yeah. Okay. You know. But as we've now had her for about 5 months now, we can see things that she's different with and things that she has in common with her inner Brady. So
yeah, I know. It's pretty cool to see him grow up and acclimate into the family, isn't it?
And the most ridiculous dog owner thing that I've done, I did in the last 2 days. So our pet owner listeners will appreciate this, and I know you will, Shanna. So Jules, we think she may have had a hard life before she came to the rescue and we got her. So she doesn't really know to ask for things or how to do certain things. So she'll go out at night a handful of times to go walk around the backyard or whatever it is. But she doesn't know how to tell us when she wants to come back in. Mm. So like our Brady would paw at the door or bark or something like that. She will just sit there out on the deck outside the back door and just hope eventually somebody's going to come find her. Oh. So, and I own that I'm a crazy dog dad. I bought a Ring doorbell that's motion activated. So we're sitting there, we're watching our Hawaii Five-0 on our television. And we're watching our shows at night. I'd rather have to get up every 5 or 10 minutes to check the door. I just have my phone and I get the little notification. There is motion at your back door. And I get up and I go let Jules in.
Oh my God, I love that story. That's amazing.
Shin, if someone wants to talk to you about preparing financially for a pet, a soon-to-be pet, an existing pet, or anything else related to their money, how can they reach you at Heritage Financial?
Yeah, for sure. Go to our website at heritagefinancialaz.com. Click schedule a consultation in the top right corner and I look forward to chatting.
Always. And I always enjoy chatting with you, especially about dogs.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate it.
All right, Shanna, take care.